and this is Tim with Online Big Blue, bringing you the best of New York Giants sports entertainment. Well, you know what? My voice is shot. Spending all that time at the link and watching the Giants get crushed 38-7. It was 31-7 when I left. So I guess I didn't fully watch them get crushed. I have to laugh, though, because and it makes me it just makes me laugh because I never really watch other content creators. I never watch anything that's on videos on Twitter or Instagram. But I had to. I had to this morning because it was killing me. Because I was watching some people that are having like draft parties and things. And I love it because you go to the second half and these people had already given up. And you go to the second half and these people are already like, well, you know, maybe the Eagles are just that good and we should just be happy to be here. And that's the Gen Y mentality. That's why I have a show called Get Off My Lawn, The Mad Ramblings of a Gen Xer. Because you should never just be happy to be there. You should always show up. You always should show up to try to win the game. You're in the playoffs. You're one game away from getting to the NFC Championship game. Yeah, it's a Herculean task in Philadelphia. But I had to hear about for a week, Daniel Jones is the guy because of what he did in Minnesota. And I love it because I was watching some videos and I was watching some comments and stuff. And it's amazing that Daniel Jones basically got blamed for nothing. That it was nothing was his fault in Philadelphia. It's truly amazing. It was stunning. I look at his performance, and I got to see the stinker firsthand. 15-27, 135, averaged 5 yards a play, one interception, 5 sacks. Had the fumble. Stayed in the pocket way too. You got a team that has 70 sacks, third most in NFL history. And you're Daniel Jones, and your thought process is to hang out too long in the pocket. That's your thought process. Short, quick passes. That's what this game should have been. Short, quick passes. Delayed handoffs to Saquon Barkley. Control the clock. Run it up the gut as much as possible. And try to keep Philadelphia off the field. I said it in Minnesota. You had to have Daniel Jones. Good about it, indifferent. You had to have Daniel Jones throw the ball. Because that was the way to attack Minnesota's defense. The way to attack the Philadelphia defense and keep there is to play keep away. Going back to being a kid, 8 years old, running around outside, play keep away. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Daniel Jones is supposed to be the guy in reference to running the ball, but you know what's funny? They put a spy on him. 6 carries for 24 yards, because that's the way you beat the Giants. You keep Daniel Jones in the pocket. You don't allow you limit him in the short game, and you go after him, and you put a spy on him. And Philadelphia, once again, put on a clinic on how to attack Daniel Jones and how to go after his weaknesses. This looked like Daniel, and people were like, you're picking on poor Daniel Jones. No, I'm being honest. And if you don't know what being honest is, shut up and leave. My last day here is January 25th. We're going to do a live stream. That's going to be the last live stream of Online Big Blue. So I can say whatever the hell I want to say. I can speak the truth, and you people are going to have to sit there and listen to it. If you don't listen, if you don't want to hear it, just turn off the channel. Don't care. But all the warts came out for the Giants offense. And people forget because they beat a bad Indianapolis. They put up points against a bad Indianapolis team, and we put up points against a bad Vikings team. The offense was never fixed. All the warts that were there in the Texans game, in the Bears game, in the Washington game were all there on full display. And you can sit there and you can tell me, well, this is a rebuilding year, so we should just be happy. That's what losers say. That's what a loser says. That you should just be happy. That we should just be thankful and grateful that we did our best.
Your best. Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Man, we know what Daniel Jones is going home not to do. It's time, guys. If you can't see what he looks like up against top flight, because this is the type of talent that you are going to be going up against in the playoffs. This is the type of talent. These are the teams you're going to run into. You're not always going to continuously run into a bad Minnesota Viking defense at 31st ranked. You're not going to run into that. The illusion should be gone. But it's not, because the Daniel Jones panty boys are always going to be the panty boys, always on the guest list. The panty boys always have their panties on their head. That's from Glamour Boys from Living Color. I don't know, man. It just irks me because you had to hear for a week how he's the Messiah, how he's the answer. Well, Philadelphia proved he wasn't even the answer. He wasn't even the question. And Philadelphia showed us that the Giants were, I'm not going to call them a, you sometimes have a fluke playoff team. And in some regards, it's fun. It's exciting. But when you're a not so good team and you make the playoffs and you lose that draft position and you only have $53 million in cap space and you have a quarter, you have to find a quarterback. You have to decide whether you're going to sign your franchise running back. You have to decide whether you're going to bring back one of your wide receivers, and you got to decide if you're going to bring back your free safety or your strong safety. You have to make some decisions. And you have some other contracts coming up in Dexter Lawrence. You have a couple of contracts coming up in Andrew Thomas. You sometimes lose sight and perspective. And I've mentioned this before. The Giant, Joe Shane is playing long ball. Joe Shane is playing 5-10 years down the road. The coach plays the game at a time and a season in front of him. That's what the coach does. But the general manager has to look beyond 2022, 2023, 2024. He's got to put the franchise in a position that will allow them to compete and be successful repeatedly for an extended period of time. And he has to make the decision whether the people that he has in front of him will sit there and help him move forward. Now, to me, this is, and I've said this before, Shane and Dable getting to the playoffs was great for them because of the fact that now they have built up credibility. They have an extra year because now they can say the rebuild starts now. That's what they could say to people. The rebuild starts in 2023. We had a successful season in 2022. We made the playoffs, but now we need to look forward and start the rebuild. So I've said this before. If they want to go out and draft a quarterback, they could. They could play a rookie quarterback next year without a problem because of the fact that they have built up money in the Giant fan bank, which would allow them potentially to take a step back in 2023. I know fans don't want to hear that. Fans want to hear we're going to the Super Bowl. No, we got lucky. It's one of those things that we got lucky in so many games that the ball bounced our way. That's not going to happen every year. That's not. And you have to even kind of harken back to that first year under Pat Shurmur. We've talked about it before. Eli Manning gave the Giants the lead 5 times that season with under 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And the Giants lost like 4 of those games. Yeah, one of them was on a record-breaking field goal, but they still lost 4 out of those 5 games because the ball didn't break their way. Now, just like this season, the ball broke their way for the Giants, which is great. And it was a fun season. It was a fantastic season. I got to hang out with a lot of great people, got to meet a lot of great people, got to take a lot of subscribers to the games and, you know, just hang out. Dom flew all the way in from the UK. So, you know, in that perspective, this season was a rounding success. I've said it once before and I've said it a million times. I was fine if the Giants won 5 games, and I predicted them to win 5 games, and I was wrong. They won 9. I was 100% wrong. But I would have preferred them to win 5 games and cultivate a talent and move forward than I would have been embarrassed 38-7. Because this is the game you are going to remember as a Giants season closes out. This is the game you're not going to forget because it's the last game of the season. You're not going to forget what happened this night in Philadelphia on January 21st. And good or bad or indifferent, we have to live with that. Now, if you take a look at this team, because like I said, the offseason starts right now. If you take a look at this team, there is so many holes because we're going to have a tough schedule next year. You are going to need at least 3 linebackers. You need a speed cover guy already because we just cannot cover the tight end. We can't cover the tight end. We can't cover the running back. We just can't do any of that. We're going to need that speed guy. You're going to need someone besides Jalen Smith to plug that middle because he's making too many tackles in the second level. One thing I liked about Blake Martinez was if he made a tackle, it was usually a yard off the line of scrimmage. He wasn't making them 3-4 yards deep, which was why he was a successful linebacker for the Giants that first season. You need to figure out your secondary because you have a Dory Jackson and blank. You hope Cordell Flott turns the corner. You thought Darnay Holmes was making strides this year, and he kind of went into a regression. You got Rodarius Williams, and you got a couple other people, but you need to totally revamp your secondary. You need a CB2, potentially a CB1 and a CB2, and you need a good slot cover guy, and you're probably going to need a third or fourth cornerback. And then you're going to have to look at the safety position, because you have to make a decision whether you're going to bring Julian Love back. You got to decide if you're going to bring the Love Child back, because of the fact that you need to make a decision on your quarterback. And that's why they always say, if you take a quarterback early in the first round, you have to win within the first 4 years. You have to win a Super Bowl within the first 4 years, because you're going to get killed in the salary cap in year six, if you pick up that fifth-year option. So you have to make a decision on that, which is going to make a decision what your direction is going to be in free agency, because they are not going to put the franchise tag on Daniel Jones. We've talked about that immediately, because you put the franchise tag on Daniel Jones, that's immediately a $32 million cap hold, which means you have, what, $22 million left? And you need to take 11 of that to sign your rookie class, so you have $10 million maybe in cap space. Now, you'll create more cap space. You'll probably get over 60, but so you'll have maybe $15 million in cap space to go out in free agency and plug the holes that you have. You have to think about this. You got to sign. Do you want to bring back Saquon Barkley? Do you want to spend $10 million on him? Because I think I believe he was the eighth highest rate running back at $8 million. He's going to want money, and he's going to deserve to get paid. If it's me, I may franchise Bark. I think that would make more sense, because a lot of people seem to forget the fact that Daniel Jones's career year, which is 3,000 yards, 15 touchdowns, didn't happen until Saquon Barkley was on the field as much as he was this season. And I love it, because the Panty Boys are going to be like, you're bashing Daniel Jones. No, I'm just being honest. I'm just looking from the perspective of what's coming next. And right now, like I said, you then need to make a decision on the offensive line. The center position needs to be upgraded. You need to look at both guard positions, and you're going to need to upgrade at wide receiver. And I honestly think you need a better, I like Bellinger. He just reminds me a lot of Kevin Boss or Ballard. He doesn't remind me of Bavaro or Shockey. So you're probably going to need a pass catching tight end. You're going to need at least two wide receivers. And then you may have to figure out what your running back's going to be. Your running back situation is going to be, because Barkley may not be back. And I know, and like I said, well, we can get him in the draft. Okay, what, you got 11 draft choices? You're going to fill out your entire team again with rookies? No. You need to start building towards the future. And I've said this before. I have all the confidence in the world from my man crush, DeShane. My man crush is Dable and Shane. I don't think Kafka's going anywhere. And I don't think, the only person I think on this coaching staff that may be looking to take a head coaching position who may earnestly deserve it would be Wink, even after this performance. Because if you're going to grade either Kafka or Wink after this performance, this would not be the performance to grade. This would not be the performance to grade them on. Ooh, not at all. None, not whatsoever. But I've said it before, those 4 years in Baltimore should have gotten Wink a job. He interviewed for the Giants job. He should have got the Giants job over Joe Judge. But then you're gonna have to think, are you going to replace your defensive coordinator? Now, Wink is saying the right things, that this is not a stepping stone, the Giants, this is a destination. But listen, if a head coaching job comes up, and let's say Arizona says, hey, we want you to go to Arizona, Wink's gonna go to Arizona. So we have to look at this from, and I've said it before, we got to look at this from a standpoint of status. What do we have good that's on the spacecraft? Well, I'll have to get back to you, Gene. Oh, no, it'd be,
I'll have to get back to you, Gene.
Sorry, doing a little Apollo 13 today. It's just one of those days. It's just truly one of those days, because when I went to Philly, I knew this was going to be a Herculean task. I knew that this was beyond a long shot. And I spent a long day on South Street and then getting over a couple of cheesesteaks and heading over to the parking lot in the Link, and the fans are actually pretty good, man. Because of course when you're winning, when you're winning again 31-7, who wouldn't be good? But I was expecting more. I was expecting them. I was expecting the Giants to show up. And I'm not saying that they weren't ready to play. I'm not saying the Eagles aren't a great team. Well, we don't know if they're a great team yet. We'll see if they get to the Super Bowl. But I was hoping the Giants were going to show up a little more. Show up and show out and do your job. And we got, like I said, we have a lot of tough decisions that we're going to need to address during this coming up offseason. And I've said in my last video, the offseason starts now. This is where the offseason starts. Because it's day, the clock is, we're sitting here January 22nd. The clock is at day one now. Yes, I know it's still the official NFL season of, what is it, of 2022, 2023. And the 2023-2024 season doesn't start until, oh, sometimes like a March or April, whatever the time, whatever day it is. But for the Giants' perspective, this is where Joe Shane's going to make his money. This is where the coaching staff, the coaching staff with the evaluations of players, but this is where your scouting staff's going to make your, this is where they're going to make their mark. This is where they're going to find those talents. This is where they're going to find those hidden gems. This is where they're going to find the players that are going to be the building blocks. Like I said, I think they had a building block draft with Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau. I think they really did. And I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what direction Shane goes in. And he's going to say all the right things. He's going to say everything about Saquon and Daniel that he wants him back. But you know what? That's just coach talk. That's just coach speak. I got people pinging me already. So they already have a plan. They're already formulating a plan. They're already moving forward. They are looking at a fresh perspective. And at the end of the day, that's what we want this team to do. We want them to take a look at what worked well, what didn't work well, make adjustments, figure out what they want to do, salary cap wise, directional wise. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of the 2017 Buffalo Bills when Tyrod Taylor took them to the playoffs with 9 wins, very similar stats, eerily similar stats to Daniel Jones, but they lost in the wild card game to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Giants, of course, beat the Minnesota Vikings and moved on to the playoffs. But we have to hope and we have to see. And like I said, I have all the confidence and all the faith in the world that this direction that this team is going to take. And I believe in Shane. I believe in Dable. And if they decide that they want to bring back Daniel Jones, you know, you got to support that decision. I still don't think they're going to, but we're going to move forward and see what's going to happen. We're going to have a live stream on Wednesday night, which will be the final live stream for Online Big Blue. That'll be January 25th. Make sure you tune in for that. We're going to have a video every day up until then. And again, this is Tim with Online Big Blue, bringing the best of New York Giants sports talk and entertainment. And as always, if you like, please subscribe. If you ring that button, it means that you have a...